Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow workers in God's kingdom. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this installation Sunday is taken from Philippians chapter 2. We'll read one short verse, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When someone asks you the question, what do you do for a living, how do you usually respond? Don't you usually respond with something like, I am something? I am an engineer, I am a police officer, or in your case, Rebecca, I am a teacher, or at least you're about to be a teacher. You were before, so you still are a teacher. We don't respond by saying, I do engineering, I do law enforcement, or I do teaching. Even though that's the question we were asked, right? What do you do for a living? Do you ever think about why we respond that way? Could just be a figure of speech we've grown accustomed to saying, and it does kind of sound strange if you were especially a teacher. It doesn't sound very educated to say, I do teaching. It's probably what you don't want to say or sound like if you are actually a teacher. But I think another reason why we respond that way when you're asked, what do? We respond with, I am a pastor, or I am a teacher, or I am a truck driver. We respond that way because work is such an important part of our lives, of who we are. It takes up a tremendous amount of our time, our energy. It even becomes a lot of what becomes our identity, especially if it is not just a job, but more like a career, or what we might call a vocation. Ever wonder where that word comes from? Vocation? It's actually from a Latin word, vocare, which means to call. In a sense, then, we all have a calling in our vocation. Now, it's obvious in a day like this where we are installing a Christian day school teacher, we use those terms with teachers and pastors in the church. We talk about having the call or extending the call to someone, a divine call from the Lord. It's obvious when God says our work is to be done, it's going to be a divine call, work that will be done in his kingdom for the service of his people, whether young or old or somewhere in between. But how about the rest of us? How about the rest of you who are here today? Is God at work in your work? Well, as we look at our sermon text for this special service and we look at the rest of Scripture, we find a very resounding yes. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would bless our message today, that it would be applicable, that it would be encouraging and faith-strengthening to everyone, no matter what your line of work. First of all, let's recognize the importance of work in our lives and in our world. Work is a gift from God. It really is. It's a gift from God. We know this from, well, maybe just practical reasons. When we look at what work does for us, provides for us a living, provides for our families, gives us money even to support the Lord's work, and even to give to charitable causes. So we see it's a blessing there. But think about this fact, that even before the fall into sin, before this world became fallen, God gave Adam and Eve work. A blessing. He gave them work to do to tend to that garden, that beautiful place he had made for them. Now, obviously, since the fall, just like everything else in this fallen world, work is no longer the perfect gift that God intended it to be. It's far from it. Am I right? Ever had a case of the Mondays? You wouldn't if you're a pastor. That's my day off. So it's a plug for the ministry. No, it's not always the fulfilling, joyful, beneficial work that God desires it to be. Work can be very tedious, boring. It can be stressful. At times it can be downright awful. And unfortunately, can even be awful for pastors and teachers, for called workers in God's kingdom. So sorry, Rebecca, if I'm pulling the curtain back too far and letting you know that it's not always going to be amazing and wonderful like our week of VBS was. Sometimes it's downright challenging, difficult, and sometimes awful. But let's keep in mind that our work, no matter what our vocation is, work is truly a blessing from God. As one person put it, in vocation, in our work, God is hidden even in the mundane activities of our everyday lives. That's quite the blessing, isn't it? God is hidden in our work. He is there in even the most mundane activities of our everyday lives. Think about that. God does work usually through regular physical means. And therefore, that's the way He usually gives us His gifts. He gives us His gifts through the very regular, ordinary physical means of work. Our work or the work someone else does. Think of how often you are blessed by the work of someone else. Whenever someone does something for you, makes you a meal, fills in a pothole in the road, cleans your house, teaches your children, preaches a sermon, or develops software for your iPhone to work properly so you can take that super cute selfie, post it to Instagram immediately. Think of what a blessing that is. Not that last one, but the other ones. Be grateful that through the people of God, through people, God blesses you through their work. When you think about it, our work and where we work is actually one of the ways, one of the major means by which God gives us opportunities to serve others, to show love for Him and to show love for our neighbor, just as He commands us. Jesus was once asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus gave an answer that had two parts. He said, "The greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Love God, love your neighbor. How in the world can you actually physically serve God? You can't see Him. How can you physically love God? You can't touch Him. He's not physically right here, visibly present with us. He's here, but not visibly. We serve and love Him by serving and loving each other. When God says serve and love your neighbor, He means everyone. Martin Luther once wrote about the connection between our work and our love for God and our love for our neighbor. He once said these things. He said, "A Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ and the neighbor. He lives in Christ through faith and in his neighbor through love." And he said, "Good works are not to be done for God." He says, "Rather, they must be done for one's neighbor. God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does." So the question is God at work in and through us when we are at work? He is. He most definitely is. But maybe He's a bit more hidden by us than He ought to be. If we think of the work that we've been given to do each day, whatever it is, wherever it is, at home, at school, or in the office, on assembly lines, maybe on the back of a dump truck, the work that God has given to us, if we think of that as being the ministry He's given to us, that may change our perspective of work and the blessing that it is. The word ministry simply means service. So our work is, in a sense, the ministry that God has given to us, the service He has given to us to other people. Ministry, as defined by the New Testament, is any service that is performed by a Christian that is motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that benefits other people and brings glory to God. And that is why the Apostle Paul could write, as one of our children said in the children's sermon, "Whatever you do can be done to the glory of God." Paul put it this way: "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." How can we bring glory to God through our work? Well, the Scriptures consistently teach that whatever our work, wherever it is, whatever it is, whether it's saving souls through the teaching and preaching of his gospel or cleaning toilets, we should do it with diligence. We should do it with excellence, with self-sacrifice that honors him and serves others. Jesus once said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Think of how brightly our lights shine at work when we do the things that Jesus wants us to do for him, but also for our coworkers, for our bosses, for the people who are employed by us. Think of how brightly that light shines, especially if it's jobs or work or certain types of our work that are less than desirable, that truly are serving. Think of how brightly our lights will shine when we do our work with integrity, with diligence, with excellence and skill. Work hard at it. Develop our skills. Develop an attitude of excellence in our work. Think of how our lights will shine if we go to work each day and work each day with an attitude of thankfulness. Think people will wonder what in the world is up with that guy if you go to work every day thankful for the job that you have, or with that girl if she goes to work with thankfulness in her heart. And finally, going and doing our work with love. I think we forget that often, don't we, when we do our work. Do it with love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, let all that you do be done with love. All. That would include our work, no matter what it is, no matter where it is. So our work does become service. And in fact, it does become worship to God when we dedicate it to him, when we perform it to his glory, perform it for the service of others, and do it with an awareness that God is at work with us and through us. Now, none of that would even be truly possible or even desirable to us if it wasn't for the fact that God is at work in us and that he is at work for us. Remember those words of our sermon text for today from Philippians chapter 2. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." In other words, it is God who gives you the motivation, the want to, and the ability to carry out the work that he has given to you today. May that be a comfort and a source of strength to all of us, and especially to you today, Rebecca, as you approach the overwhelming responsibility, yet blessed privilege, of teaching Jesus' little lambs in our school. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Doesn't that help to take the pressure off of you? He places the responsibility on himself, not just to get the work done, but to get you going to get the work done and carry it out according to not your purpose or my purpose, but to his purpose. That is all a part of his grace. That is the most important part of his work for us. It has absolutely nothing to do, in fact, with our work, but has everything to do with Jesus' work. One of the most important passages on work actually has nothing to do with work itself. The verses after it talk about work, but the verses before it that I'm about to read to you talk about work, but has nothing to do with the work that we've done. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Jesus' perfect work, his perfect life, his innocent death on the cross to pay for every one of our sins, his glorious resurrection from the grave, that is the work that earned us forgiveness. What earns for us God's unending, unconditional love and eternal life with him forever in heaven. In fact, because of Jesus and his work, God now counts our work, as flawed and as tainted and as incomplete as it is, he counts it as righteous. He counts it as perfect in his sight. That led the Apostle Paul to once put it this way. He said, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him as righteousness." And so my prayer for you, Rebecca, today and going forward, and to all of us as we go about our work, is the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippian Christians to whom he wrote this letter. He prayed these very words one chapter before our sermon text. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.